All right, good reading, brother, of Proverbs 9. So let's go through this together and see if we can extrapolate some truth from it. What do you say?
Yeah, sounds good.
Starts out, wisdom hath built her house, and she hath hewn out her seven pillars. When I think of that word, well, first of all, that word, that number seven comes up. And that's kind of a theme all over God's Word, isn't it?
Yeah, and I find it. There's a verse. Hold on, I got it right here.
Yeah, look up your verse.
Psalm 12, verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times.
Yeah. Yeah, so the word. Seven is kind of. God created 7 days, so a lot of people say it's like a complete number of God. I was thinking of the word pillar, too. 1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know thou oughtest to have behaved thyself in the house of God, which is the ecclesia of the living God and the pillar and ground of the truth. So we, as the ecclesia, are the pillar and ground of the truth. I like that. So we're supposed to hold up the truth. So that's what I thought of when I saw that word pillar, and then I saw that word seven. It says, I like that word, hewn out. That sounds like, I think of like hewning out of a rock. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's an interesting way to say it. Because, if you look at that word, it means, to hew, to cut out, to quarry, to engrave.
Yeah, and it makes me think we're living stones. We're like hewned out of the rock of Christ.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. It's like the pillars are hewn out of the rock, who is Christ.
Amen.
The seven pillars.
Amen, amen. Verse 2, why don't you read that for us?
She hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also burnished her table.
Okay. So this is like talking about some kind of a feast about to go on, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's basically, I looked at it, and it's like wisdom has all of this stuff prepared for whosoever wants to partake of it,
right.
Basically.
I like that mingled. It says, especially wine to mingle, produced by mixing. So it's, you're getting ready. So I guess when I read this verse, I think of like the prodigal son in the book of Luke. Is it 15, I think it is? Where his son's on the way back and he's like, kill the fatted calf, and they're ready to have a feast because of the son coming back. And so here it's talking about wisdom. Yeah, so wisdom is like it kind of setting the table for us is kind of how I look at that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's an interesting comparison, because when a man repents, heaven rejoices and whatnot.
Yep.
And when a man repents, he fears the Lord, and that's the beginning of wisdom, is fear of the Lord. So
yeah.
that parable really ties into that well.
That verse is going to be coming up. And it also ties into the marriage supper of the Lamb, the ultimate culmination of what we're all looking forward to, right?
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
Verse 3, she has sent forth her maidens, she crieth upon the highest places of the city. When I think of that, I think of Jesus telling them, what you heard in your ear, you're going to say from the rooftops. I don't know why. I'm thinking of like good news going out from some high place.
Yeah. Okay. I wonder, that's a good point. I wonder what she hath sent forth her maidens. Was that like for like a supper, or like inviting guests, or is that like a custom, or why would she send forth her maidens?
I don't know. That one, I looked up the word maiden, and it means maiden, just what we would think. Damsel, little girl, female servant. I guess you could say she sends forth her female servants, crieth upon the high places of the city. And then what does verse 4 say? Whosoever is simple, let him turn hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I've mingled. So I get that kind of gives us our answer, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yep. And
it's a feast.
That word's simple.
It's a feast.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a feast. And yeah, that word simple, simplicity, naivety, right, or open-minded, like silly.
Yep.
So she's calling those people that are naive and the fool around in the dark, come, I furnished my table, eat of my bread, drink of my wine. She's inviting everyone. And that's kind of like the Lord's parable of go out into the highways, byways, invite whosoever will come.
Yeah, amen. Amen. And if we keep going to verse 6, forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. So this parable is saying wisdom, God's wisdom, the Holy Spirit, like we talked about from Proverbs 8, sets this beautiful table for us to come and feast and gain all of this. And it's saying, come, feast at the table of the Lord where all this good, all these good things are. Forsake what else you're going to get outside of the Lord's table. Foolishness.
That's very true. Yeah, it's like, there's like a condition to it. You have to forsake the foolish in order to partake of the wisdom.
Yeah, and to put it in terms like we could say today, this is like heading to an 8 or 9 course gourmet meal that God offers us in wisdom versus going to McDonald's for junk food, which is our foolishness.
Yep.
Right? I like that. And it's verse 6. It says, go in the way of understanding. We just talked about understanding and wisdom and knowledge in the last Proverbs 8 study. I like that. Go the way. We talked about paths. There's a path for you. Go the path of understanding.
Right. And Christ said, I am the way,
amen,
the truth, and the light.
Amen. So, yeah, and obviously following him via the gospel is wisdom and understanding. How about verse 7, brother? Read that for us.
He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot.
That's pretty self-explanatory. What is that word blot? I want to look that up. Unused root, a blemish, a spot, a defect, a moral stain. Yeah, it's not a good thing. Yeah, so he that reproveth a scorner getteth himself shame. So what's a scorner going to do? Well, we only got to go to verse 8, I guess. Another one of these situations where you just read the next verse. Reprove a scorner, he'll hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he'll love thee. So if you know someone's a scorner, it's kind of like when we street witness, what do we say about mockers, brother?
I'm not sure. We say a lot of things about mockers.
As far as like not going along with them?
Oh, yeah, yeah, not going along with them. Usually we ask when they approach, like, is this a mocker's question or is this a like kind of like a mocking question?
Yeah, because right there it says, he that reproveth a scorner getteth himself to shame. So if a man's a mocker and a scorner, is he really going to take correction?
No, and it's interesting. If you keep going along with someone who's a scorner, who's a mocker, it does bring you shame because you're like going along with this person. They're not listening and they're kind of making you look like a fool for going along with the foolish person. And it makes very shameful.
Yeah. Proverbs 20 verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And then Jude 18, I told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. So we want to be careful that we don't entertain and go along with a mocker and a scorner, because it tells us right there what's going to happen. It's not going to go well. And reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, he'll love thee. I think it's interesting we're doing this study. We just had a situation with a brother that we had to part ways from who wanted all kinds of help, asked for it, got it. And in the end, when another situation came up, now he turned the tables on the people that were trying to help him and said that it was lording over and controlling and no one should have gave him all that advice. And it makes me realize that someone could go from being a scorner and you think, hey, they're a wise guy. They're a wise man. They want a rebuke, but they can go right back to a scorner, can't they?
Oh, yeah, I think it comes down to the fruit of it.
Yeah.
If you give a wise man instruction, he'll apply it to his life. He'll walk in it throughout his life. He'll be more aware of it.
Yeah.
And if you give it to a scorner, even if he, like, man-pleases and says, oh, yeah, thanks for the advice and whatnot, if he doesn't apply it rightly to his life,
yeah,
it didn't really do him any good.
Amen. Know? Amen. And in this case, with this man we're talking about, the longer we try to explain things and go through it on email and all that, the more confusing and ugly and more lies it got. And that often is the case with people that don't want wisdom and understanding. It's like a liar. In this case, this covers this man. He's a liar. When you go along with a liar, unless they repent and come clean, if you go along with a liar, what are you going to get more of, brother?
More lies.
More lies. And that's what we saw in this case, more lies coming from this man. 9, giveth instruction to a wise man, he'll be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So that's the hope. The hope is that as you give wisdom to somebody and counsel and advice and good sound doctrine, that they go, oh, I need that, I got to correct that, and oh, I need it there, I got to correct that. But sadly, when people operate in their flesh and they're scorners, it doesn't work out that way, does it?
Nope. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, walking in the Spirit, and instruction is the way of life. The way of, there's a verse that just came to mind. The way of instruction is the way of life. Hold on. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Hold on.
I'll read 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding.
Yeah, back in Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life.
Yeah. Yeah, reproofs, instruction are the way of life. I like what this verse says. Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We preach that all the time in the streets, and hardly anybody in America has that. We preach it. Nobody raises their hand. They don't fear God anymore. That's Satan's at the root of that. Fleshly, itchy-eared Christianity's at the root of it. Modern pastors telling everybody God loves you unconditionally. There's no fear. I mean, can you imagine if you were going to a courtroom to stand before a righteous judge and everybody convinced you, oh, don't worry, he's going to love you unconditionally no matter what. Are you going to have any fear of that guy?
Nope.
Nope. You're going to go, oh, he loves me, he's not going to sentence me to life in jail. What if they go, man, he's one of the hardest judges there is. You should be trembling. You will fear him and give him the respect that he's deserved. And then that part, it says, the knowledge of holy is understanding. What do you think that means, brother?
Well, the knowledge of that which is set apart, sanctified, that keeps you out of sin is understanding. And that's why the love of God is keeping his commandments, because his commandments are not grievous. They're to keep us from sin and destruction.
Amen.
So the knowledge of the holy, the set apart, the sanctified,
yeah,
is true understanding.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Very well. Very well put. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. So if you're born of God by the gospel, the shed blood of Christ and his resurrection, and through repentance you've been born again by the Spirit of God, and you're understanding and living in holiness and obedience and growing in it and enduring in it, the knowledge of that holy is understanding, meaning when someone brings you correction, you receive it. It's like a magnet to metal. It's like, yeah, I want that. Yeah, I need that. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, that's sound doctrine. But the opposite would be like when you get these force fields when two metal won't touch each other. They're like fighting against each other, and they won't, like two magnets. Have you ever done that? You flip them upside down. They don't want to come to each other.
Yep.
That's exactly what's going on here. It's like the opposite. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. So if we're holy and we have knowledge, we're going to understand these principles of wisdom.
Amen.
Verse 11, For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. So that's interesting. It's kind of a promise there that by wisdom your days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. So I guess there's some common sense there, because if you have wisdom, you may lengthen your days. That's what the Lord is saying.
Yeah, and it reminded me of, actually in the next chapter, Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened.
Yeah.
So I think the Lord lets the wicked fall by their own wickedness, And the wicked are led around by their flesh, by the culture, by the world, and it destroys them faster and more abruptly than those who are led by wisdom.
Amen. Amen. It reminds me of the account of the, was it a king that God said, you're going to die? And the king repented, basically, if I recall, and God let him keep living, didn't take his life. You remember that account?
Was that a parable or?
It's an account of a king. Hold on, I can look it up here. Now that I brought it up, I should look it up. Hold on. I'm looking it up. Is it Hezekiah? Yeah. Yeah, it was King Hezekiah, and God allowed him to live 15 extra years.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah. So that's kind of what that reminds me of. We can read about that. I think it's around 2 Kings 20. Yeah. Yeah, 2 Kings 20. But anyway, that kind of reminded me of that. I'm glad I looked it up.
Yeah, and I think about, and the years of thy life shall be increased. I mean, if you have the fear of the Lord, you have wisdom, you have knowledge of the holy, you've submitted your life to Christ, you've killed the flesh, you're walking in the light, your years of your life will be eternal.
Amen.
You will never perish, as Jesus said.
Amen, so amen. Also, good point, good point. Verse 12, if thou be wise, talk about wisdom here, thou should be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shall bear it. Interesting.
I like that, because you can't shove responsibility of your actions off to someone else.
On anyone else, you're going to have to bear it all on your own, and that goes along with sin. You know, you're going to answer for your sin. I'm going to answer for my sin, lest we repent. And we're covered by the blood of Christ. Willful sin, we're going to answer for that. Verse 13, brother, you want to read that?
Yeah. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing.
Clamorous. Let's look up that word. Clamorous. To make a loud sound. Clamor. To make a noise, murmur, growl, roar, cry out loud. So a foolish woman is loud and noisy. She's simple and knoweth nothing. Yeah, I can go along with that. Definitely, it's scripture. We got to go along with it. That makes sense. And then verse 4. Oh, go ahead.
That reminds me of 1 Peter 3, let me say 3 to 4. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is the sight of God a great price.
Oh, good call, brother. A foolish woman is loud and noisy, but a meek and quiet spirit. I like that. Good call. That was a good one. Verse 14, for she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city. So I always think of that, the high places in the city. It's kind of like a lifted up place of prominence. To call passengers who go right on their ways. To call passengers. What is that, passengers? What is that? Albar. Who go right on their ways. A road. Yeah. A road, a distance, a journey, a man, or a path. There's that path word again. To call people on a road who go right on their ways. And then I guess we got to finish it with 16. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him. So this is like reaching out to people that are seeking after this, right?
Yeah, I find it interesting. There's a contrast between wisdom, who hath hewn out her seven pillars and has everything set, calling for people. And then there's a foolish woman who's also calling for people.
Right. She sit at the door of her house on a seat in high place of the city to call to passage who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him. So 16 is leaning towards a person that wants understanding.
Yep.
Right? I want to look up that word simple. Yeah, naivety, foolish, open-minded, simplicity. Yeah, I guess we got to be careful in the English language when people say, I'm a simple person. That's not necessarily a good thing, is it, when it's talking about biblical simplicity?
Nope.
Simple, to me, would be uncomplicated, which is kind of a good trait, but biblically simple is, in this case, this word is not a good thing. And then 17. Read that one, brother.
Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant.
Might as well finish 18, too.
But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell.
Ouch. Quite a way to finish that up, huh?
Yeah, I wonder. Stolen waters are sweet, so that's... And bread eaten in secret is pleasant. So these things that perhaps, I don't know. That sounds like doing things in the dark, not in the light.
Let's discern this. Is stealing anything good?
Oh no.
And then eating bread in secret, tied to stealing waters. It's kind of like. When I look at that verse, you know what I think of? Sin is fun for a season.
That's very true, yeah.
Right? And then 18, but he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. So sin is going to lead you to that place of death, the second death.
Yep, so it's almost like there's a contrast between the first woman, whose wisdom...
Yep.
And calling men who lack understanding, who are naive and open-minded, come in hither, like come in here and be wise and be not simple. But then there's another woman, and it's kind of like light and dark. And then there's another woman that's also calling to the simple and naive, no, come in this way. So it's kind of like a two sides.
Yeah, good point, brother. That first feast is like an open feast, like the marriage supper of the Lamb, that the Lord invites us in, and it's good, and it's in the light, and it's all pure. And then the second part is talking about stolen waters and eating bread in the dark. Criminals steal and eat things in the dark, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Good points. Anything else on Proverbs 9, brother?
Nope, that was all that I had.
All right, we'll leave it right there. Good job. Well done.